Welcome, everyone. This is the joint NCUC MPOC Constituency Day. We have a full agenda in terms of what we want to tell you and share with you. Actually, MPOC is going to do the first half of the day or this block of time, and then NCUC will join us. They are actually finishing up, I guess, another session, so we'll wait for them. So let's start. Could we please have the agenda on the next slide, please? Great. So we have a number of presenters for you. We're going to hear from Martin Silva, who is our GNSO counselor. We want to tell you a lot about the charter and how we're working on it. It will be a quick update and some of the marketing material that we've been working on and some other work, such as the work plan. And I do want to extend a welcome to our online participants, and also if Renata would like to say welcome to everyone, she is online. So can you let me know if you want to say welcome, Renata? When you're ready, we can have you say welcome. Well, we have the other participants here. Would you guys like to just say a quick welcome, and then we can go from there?
Okay. Yeah,
can I jump in?
Yeah, of course.
Hi, yes, Renata, can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can. Renata, go ahead.
Great. So welcome, everyone. And really good to see the first QCC day. The first QCC day of MPOC and NCC. Well, for I think many people already, item 6.1 has been a long meeting with all the GDPR and the budget discussions, but we have quite a lot of good news for you here today. We will talk about upcoming events that you can participate. And thank you very much, MPOC, for inviting us to your conference today. And great to be here and looking forward to hearing all the activities. Thank you.
Great, Renata. Thank you so much. And you'll be online, I'm sure, giving us your questions. But in the meantime, we'll have our co-host have something quick to say as well.
Yes, Elsa Sade, for the record. I'm in the XCOM of NCUC, a representative of Asia-Pacific region. We're very pleased to be here, and we are more than happy to collaborate with NPOC on this event, and we're looking forward to any upcoming deliberations, I'd say. Thanks.
Great, Elsa. Now we have a quick word from Bruna, who's running, very anxious to tell us what she has to say.
Just Britta, for the record, just thank the opportunity, and I'm very happy to join both constituencies on Constituency Day. It's been a long day, so no, actually not a long day in a bad sense, but it's a good day and an important day, both for me and Elsa, to be representing Renata and taking in this position and helping you guys with your Constituency Day. So a pleasure to be here. Thank you, John.
Thank you so much. And we do have our XCOM member, Raul Plummer, here, as well as Gangadhar Pandey, and a new or a guest, which is from our onboarding program, who will be speaking later. And she has been working with Martin quite closely, as well as with Agustina Calguera, who's, and she'll tell you all about that in a moment. So let's get started so that we keep on time. And I just want to welcome Rafiq Damask, and as well as David Cake at the table as well. Thank you for coming. So over to you, Martin.
Thank you very much, John. I'm Martin Silva, for the record. Thank you for inviting me. And you gave me pretty much a very open agenda to talk about. So I thought I would like to address mainly members, not the people that are here that are mainly leadership, but to repeat something, to make it clear that both of these constituencies are, its main goals is to do policy, and specifically generic names policy. So as councillor, I want to remind once again that always have that as a north in the things we're discussing. All the administrative staff, all the outreach, everything we do, at the end we do it so we can represent better all stakeholders that are the members, and to have a more balanced ecosystem in the DNS, at least in the generic names ecosystem, which is what our main scope. For those who may not be totally aware of the structure of the GNSO, GNSO Council means that I'm representing the non-commercial stakeholder group in the GNSO Council, and the GNSO Council has the responsibility to manage the process. So as the committee goes forward and identifies different issues with the generic names, the GNSO Council has to somehow create processes and create working groups and start up and follow processes that will eventually solve those issues in a bottom-up manner and multi-stakeholder manner. And once the processes come to an end, it's the council that has to give a final approval, and that will eventually go to the board and follow its own process outside GNSO. The GNSO Council itself is composed in a multi-stakeholder model, so all houses are equally represented, and it also functions with a consensus model. So the same sort of checks and balances that are around the working groups and among the whole system is also replied in the council. And that's just to have a little bit of background of what does GNSO Councillor means next to the agenda. I'm representing NCSG interest in that process of managing the policy development process. I can also talk all day about the different policies that we have around the GNSO, but I would like to encourage the members, both of MPOC and NCUC, to always go through the list of working groups that we have right now, the open working groups we have, the public comments that are open to do, and to find interest in the different topics that are there and just participate. There's a question or an intervention, Rafik? Oh, sorry. I thought you were asking for the microphone. Just to put an example for members, my particular interest, at least for now, is the Right Protections Mechanisms Working Group, the review of all Right Protection Mechanisms Working Group, that is basically reviewing all the mechanisms that I can set forward to protect trademarks. And it means that it protects trademarks, but it's supposed to be a mechanism that is balanced trademark and the social interest or benefits of protecting them, which also has to take in account the freedom of expression, privacy, and other civil uses or legitimate uses that we might have that are just equally or more important than trademarks. So in my case, my role as a GNSO counselor and my role as a NCSG member is to participate, for instance, in this working group and represent the non-commercial stakeholder interest. That means that I have to look after the different rules that might or might allow trademarks abuses. For instance, if a member has an end user, has a domain name with its own name, and that name happens to be a trademark, well, I have to make sure that the rules behind the trademark protections doesn't allow the trademark owner to take away the name, the domain name of the end user that it's its own name, because he has a legitimate claim to have it. And at the same time, if that end user would be having a bad faith use, or it would be a case where the rules consider it is fine to take it away, again, try to look after that process so it stays between the boundaries, so it's as limited as possible and doesn't go over the end user's rights, or in the case of MPOC, the organizational rights. For instance, NGOs are usually fond of using acronyms for their own names. Like, it's just an organizational dynamics that works both for companies and governments and NGOs. NGOs also use acronyms, and it's very usual to see in the NGO environment that corporations and trademark owners try to use their trademark that has acronyms or similar names to NGOs and just take the names out of the NGOs. Sometimes just as a defensive strategy, but it can also be an offensive strategy. if a company that is contaminating has a problem or is contending an issue with an NGO that is defending the environment, and we do not take good care of the mechanism of trademarks, we could allow those companies to just register a trademark that has the same name of the NGO, and they take away their domain name, which means to take away the whole presence on the net and the trust they built from that DNS, the use of that DNS, and everything that comes that with that. So I think, at least for me, it's pretty clear the importance of the non-commercial stakeholder group in these working groups. It goes not only from freedom of expression, but it also goes to all the benefits you can have in DNS. They can be lost if you are not, if you don't balance correctly the trademark mechanisms. I would like also to go open in case someone else wants to do a question or has something specific that I would like to address.
Thank you, Martin, and well said. I think he's trying to tell us that we've got to get to work on our policy. So it's on the record. Yay! any questions from anyone? Go ahead, Rafi.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, John. Thanks, Martin, for the update. I mean, it's not a question, just putting here the head of the NCSG Policy Committee Chair. I'm happy to help. In terms of involvement and policy or informing, and also if someone wants to volunteer. So since it's also one of the role of policy committees to encourage people to join working groups. So.
Great. See, already we're helping and collaborating. Any questions? I wanted to ask the people in the audience if they would like to join us at the table. Really, we don't bite.
And we also have outlets where you can charge your devices.
I don't want to put on the spot, but Aiden, maybe you want to explain the RDS working group, maybe relevances for organizations like NGOs? Do you have like something to comment on that?
It's a choice.
Aiden Fodalin, for the record, I don't really have anything to add there, Martin. If you want me to sort of give you a brief overview of... No, I have nothing to add on the question of the RDS. I'm happy to give an overview on... I don't know.
I will make it more specific.
Please.
Just make a very brief introduction of what does the RDS group does. David can take it if he wants.
I'm happy to take it. So the RDS working group is considering the RDS working group is basically we were tasked by the board. It's a slightly unusual working group in that it was created by the board rather than by the GNSO sort of originating within the GNSO. But it's a GNSO working group, and it was essentially told the board have been wanting ages, they've understood there are a lot of problems with who is, and it's kind of the ongoing one of the, you know, basically ICANN has been arguing about who is since before there was ICANN, essentially. You know, it's sort of welcome back, my friends, the argument that never ends. Let's talk about who is, and in an effort to try and once and for all solve some of these arguments, instead of nibbling around the edges, they first created a group called the Expert Working Group that came up with a bunch of ideas about, you know, well, if we were to redesign something like WHOIS from scratch today, well, how would we do it? And there are a number of people on that group, including Stephanie, and... there were, but we, in general, we, you know, the board understood that the expert working group and Stephanie ended up being not terribly happy with the EDWG output and putting in a minority report. But the board recognised that the EWG report, which created this whole new replacement for WHOIS, was not consensus policy. It, you know, is an interesting starting point for consensus policy, but it definitely was not, and it needed to go through the GNSO policy process. So they essentially said to the GNSO, look, how about you consider whether or not we should replace Who Is with something more modern. We should... whether what that new thing will look like. And by the way, here's this thing that we have the expert working group report as a starting point. So we've been doing that, and it's basically one of the biggest PDPs ICANN has ever had to deal with. It was so big that they set up a sort of special drafting team with the board and so on it just to work out how we could really deal with something so big within the PDP process. So we ended up with it, putting it into three phases. The first, and we're still after, you know, starting work before Marrakesh, we're still on phase one of three. So, and the phase one is, it turns out that lots of people had very strong opinions about Who Is, and the working group is sort of very, very big. It's got over 200 people in it. And many of those people are very experienced policy participants, and many of them do not seem to have a strong interest in it moving forward. So it's been very slow going. And we are still answering the question, essentially, do we need something, a replacement for Who Is, or can we sort of, with sufficient hammering, turn Who Is into something suitable for... suitable for a modern registration data service or directory service. And we're still considering that question, essentially. I think most of us are sort of coming around to the idea that we probably do need something, but and the RDS is pretty much... the GDPR is pretty much forcing us there, but still, officially, we have not yet answered that fairly basic question, which requires us to specify what we actually mean by a modern RDS and then work out whether, you know, why Who Is does not meet that specification. So we're still considering pretty abstract, a lot of fairly basic and abstract questions. We haven't got into implementation and how we would actually build one. We're going to have to do a separate issues report for that, which we hope will be out by the next meeting, but that's pretty optimistic. To talk a bit more about the RDS is said. So this is the language we've been using. The idea is that Who Is, as it exists now, is an RDS. We could make another one that does the same job that is better. It's ended up being a very long discussion, largely about privacy. Privacy is the main sort of issue on which there are strongly divided opinions. We've ended up going back to sort of first principles on a lot of things. We've commissioned legal advice. We've been told we commissioned our legal advice wrong and by the people who wanted us to commission it. There've been a lot of things. We're struggling. It's going pretty well. If you are interested in privacy at policy at ICANN, this is one of the biggest things that's going on, and it has a special rule for PDPs that you can definitely jump in and become part of it at any time. So you can definitely still get involved. And there's a lot of different issues. If you get involved, we will, you don't need to necessarily be active on every single issue. There's quite a few drafting teams and things that we need people for with specialist knowledge. And it's one of the two, the big three PDPs that are going on at the moment.
I will also add, as you said, privacy is sort of like the main thing that people look in that group.
The privacy, most of the, it's not the only issue that is dominating discussion, but it's certainly the major one. Like, privacy issues are most of the concerns. And the big division here is between those of us who think the default should, under the GDPR and under general privacy principles, should be that your data should by default be, not public and usable only for the purposes for which ICANN collected and the actual reasons ICANN collected that data. And many people who say, well, we've got used to using this data. It's become proved itself to have some all these other uses that they think are valuable, so it should remain public forever. And those are the, probably the, you know, there's sort of various extreme positions, including, you know, even just why are we collecting this data at all and could we just not and things like that. But in... and there's a lot of nuance about, you know, some of the data belongs not to ICANN but to registrars. Is ICANN a, to what extent should it validate that data or verify, or can we, to what extent can ICANN allow use of that data for other purposes that are not, you know, not the reason why it was collected, but it seemed convenient or that we've come to rely on. So privacy is the basic division on most of the questions, the extent of where that lies. And to some extent, we started this a long time ago. It's been going very slow, and to some extent it's been overtaken by the GDPR. And some of the questions that we've been considering the abstract, we now have to implement in the actuality in very short time frame. So, but what you notice, they always talk about the interim solutions and things when we're talking about the GDPR at the moment. We're hoping that the RDS working group will be the group that will eventually decide on the final solution. Well, the eventual solution. It won't be hastily put together in an emergency system. It will be a fully. We're hoping eventually there will be a community developed, you know, consensus policy that tells us exactly which bits of the information that is currently and who is will be accessible and to who, and which will be collected and so forth, and who gets to access it and all of that stuff.
I'll just wrap up and I'll also comment, like, it's easy to see, or it's easier to see why end users care for who is to have a strong privacy. But for NGOs, it's also the same case. I mean, they've seen threats on their own operations when their own DNS is exposed to everyone with no sort of control, and their whole details are there. So they share a very common concern when it comes to privacy and who is.
And there are some really interesting questions about around nonprofits that sort of came up this week even. Although I think mostly we were sort of shouting we already dealt with this one in the previous proxy and privacy services accreditation working group, but people saying, oh, well, you know, businesses don't have privacy in most jurisdictions, so they shouldn't be covered by the, you know, they who is should obviously then be public. And we're like, no, that's quite follow, and there's no definition. And people sort of saying, well, if it's got a payment gateway, it should be, it's therefore commercial and therefore should be public. And we're like, no, there are nonprofits and charities that really have very different, you know, they're not commercial. They do collect money, but that's not the same thing. And they actually, a lot of nonprofits really need their privacy for very good reasons. You don't want to be targeted by, you know, group, you know, targeted for harassment by groups that disagree with your goals.
Thank you, David. You have a question or a comment, Aidan?
Thanks, Aidan, for the link for the record. I just want to make a really small intervention. This is a completely dysfunctional working group. And so I say that because it's been going on for 2 years now. Very little has happened. But that does not mean that we don't need you to join and to see it. Sometimes the multi-stakeholder model just doesn't work. And this is a really good example where there is really no incentive for some of the participants to negotiate. But ultimately, we write the rules together. We all have a voice in the process on an equal footing with everyone else, but only if we turn up in the first place and participate in the debates. And we do not have adequate participation in this working group. If you look at the attendance list, you will see it is dominated by the other stakeholder groups. So we desperately need you to join us and to help us out. And there's a few good reasons to do that. Aside from the very legitimate arguments that have just been raised about privacy and why it is so important to small organizations, It is also an opportunity for you to be able to fight for what you believe in and to actually be effective in making a change, because we do have the GDPR on our side at the moment. We do have this leverage which we're able to use to actually do something. And you might find that really rewarding, and also being able to gain a really keen awareness of some near future developments that soon enough are going to affect hundreds of millions of users of the domain name system worldwide. So please, don't be discouraged by how ineffective this working group is at the moment. There are some really great reasons to get involved. And ultimately, we are all working together. By all, I mean the non-commercial stakeholders group. We're all working together in pursuit of, I think, one goal, which is that the purpose of Who Is or the Who Is replacement should be strictly tied to ICANN's mission, which it isn't at the moment. Thanks.
If I could just say a little bit. The leadership of this working group has representatives from all the stakeholder groups on it, and all the people in the leadership team, I think, are, you know, very genuinely trying to move this forward, and we have found it extraordinarily difficult. There are a number of people who in the working group who and some who are very new to ICANN who have are not interested in engaging with the work. A primary interest is to just try and slow it down, and you know, a sort of somewhat erroneous belief that if they just stall everything that maybe it won't happen. It will. It just won't have community input. And the and in general, we found this very difficult. But please don't be put off. We're trying incredibly hard to make it more productive. And we really need the help. It's very. There are Stephanie, Aidan, and myself are pretty much the only. And a little bit. I mean, Tapani and a few others have started joining in, but there aren't that many.
Sam.
Of us, there aren't that many of us who are regulars. Every regulars on the calls. It's pretty difficult. I'm for me, the calls are now at 1 to 2:30 a.m. I could really. Stand a few other, you know, it would be great to have a few more voices, even or just be on the mailing list, and we can use you in drafting teams. With Farrell was great in the, in the drafting team that he was on. We can really use every bit of help we can get.
So yesterday, I think it was brought up at. Was it yesterday? Sunday. It was brought up about how lengthy some of these committees are. And one of the suggestions was to put time limit on it. But Hayden made a really good point about the GDPR on our side. But obviously, you need more human resources to help on the non-commercial side. I think that's the messaging here. So number one priority. That we send out, especially for not-for-profits. So, Martin, was there anything else you wanted to say?
I could talk all day. I don't want to take more time from you. I'm a lawyer. Like, I have no limit.
I'm not a lawyer, but I can talk all day, too. So let's go to our next item and a quicker update for the charter, if you don't mind, Raul.
Okay. Raul Plummer, for the record. I feel that we've finally started doing some really good progress on the charter. We have been working on it for at least 9 months now, and there hasn't been too many active people on that either. But we are finally getting there, and we've now made this like a spreadsheet where, well, basically in Abu Dhabi, we decided. To take more example of the charter that the NCUC has done, because you guys had a lot more people working on it, and it seemed like a sensible way of going about it, because we don't really need the rules of the constituency to be that much different. In that way, our functions are similar. So we've now, I've been doing some kind of ways to track the changes and that we've been doing and what the changes have been with our past charter. And we made this big spreadsheet with all the old sections of the charter. And now we've gone like section by section, just finding out whether we're missing something from the new one, because the NCUC charter as it is now, that has already been reviewed, that had very, very different language to ours, although there are a lot of similar things there. So we've needed to really make sure that we're not missing anything from the old charter. And that's what we've been doing. I think we only have the sort of last three sections of the old charter to go through, and they are pretty much the shortest ones. You can fit them on two pages of A4. I had the ambition of finally getting it to the sort of the first final part here in this meeting. Unfortunately, Juan left as well. He had to be working elsewhere. And there's like, 2 days left? So I guess we're not likely to have the final version of it here, but we'll definitely do that, I would say, by the end of April. So that's pretty much where we're at with that, the charter review.
So just a couple of things why it's taken so long with the charter. Just wanted to say we actually went through it each time, each section, and asked what was this about? How, you know, why is this here? Is this what we're supposed to do? And you're going to laugh at this, but it's really not that funny. We found duplicate sections on responsibilities. We also found that we're supposed to support our chapters. And we're like, okay. it was like literally whomever had put it together had the greatest intentions, but they obviously took two or three different documents, said, oh, that sounded good, and plunked it in. So, for example, there were conflicting responsibilities for chairs. So the communications chair and the membership chair in one section was distinctive. It was distinct, but the next section, they overlapped and conflicted with the previous one. So that's, we said, listen, we have to take a step back and do this right. So that's why it took so long. I'm happy to say that we do have an expert that's going to be helping with the end product. His name is John Moore. He'd probably not be happy that I tell everybody that, but this is what he's done for 30 years, is actually collating all the information, and he's kindly offered to help us, and as well as become more involved in other things in NPOC. So I just wanted to say that there is room at the end of the tunnel, or light at the end of the tunnel. Now I'd like to turn to Oriush. You can introduce yourself to talk about something that every time we talk to our constituency, they would always ask us two questions. What is MPOC and how is it different from NCUC? I don't know if you guys get asked that question, but you and I got asked that question. It's the number one question. And so we started to ask that question. What is the difference? How do we tell people that? How do we tell them what MPOC is? And one way, we have many ways, is something that we're happy to share with you today. And so I'll let Oriel talk about that.
Thank you, Joan. All right, so Oriel Lua Leshi, but everyone calls me Ori for short. So I'm a fairly new member, old new member, but recently involved on the community onboarding program. So the community onboarding, I guess I'll just give a background of the things that we've been doing before I end up at the beginner's guide. All right, so we have several things that we do. Number one, to welcome new community members. then provide an onboarding. So design a process whereby we can integrate new members into the group so they know what we're all about, and they know the difference between us and the other stakeholder groups, and they know how to participate. And then thirdly, to mentor new members as well. So the first thing that we've done is we've identified how new members become part of the NPOC community, whether that's they were invited by someone or they just heard about it. They came to ICANN and they wanted to get more involved. They were a fellow and they're looking for a group that works with them. So we start by doing that to see, okay, how do new people find out about NPOC and how do they become members? This really helps us in terms of knowing how we can help to integrate them and the kind of information that would be most useful to them. To that end, we came up with a welcome letter, which is on the community wiki, which we send out whenever we have new members. And of course, it's editable, so we edit it to fit the new member, and we add information and remove information as needed. Then we also came up with a toolkit and a starter guide. This is also available on the ICANN community wiki, so you can see it. And it's also a work in progress, so we're always editing it. It has a lot of really, really good in-depth information. So for anyone who really is looking to get into the nitty-gritty of what NPOC is and what it's all about, that's there. But of course, it's a lot of information to take in. Then another thing that we've done on the community onboarding program is to plan. Well, we haven't done it yet, but we're planning an informal mentoring process where each member of the XCOM would mentor a new member. So this is really to, I guess, to handhold and really get, you know, our new members integrated into the group. So then we developed a beginner's guide to NPOC. So this lovely booklet here, we have copies. So we can pass that around if you're interested. So this is just the first draft. So again, of course, this is also a work in progress. And so it takes you through what NPOC is all about. What we do, what NPOC stands for, the benefits of participating in NPOC, then NPOC's role within ICANN. I think that can be quite unclear for a lot of new members. So the booklet, you know, seeks to explain that. And also our role within the non-commercial stakeholders group, and also how we're different from NCUC. Then it also gives some information about NPOC's role within the GNSO structure. And then our executive committee, what they do. And then what we do in NPOC, what our work is all about, and more importantly, how new members can get engaged with our work. So it talks a bit about the policy development process and why it's important, and how you can join a working group. And then what is expected of you if you are a member of a working group, the kind of time commitment involved, and also understanding the public comment process and participating in executive committees. So it's really a good intro into the wonderful world of NPOC, and most importantly, how not just becoming a member, but, you know, becoming an active member. At the end, we have useful resources. So it gives a list of the different online resources that give you more information about NPOC. So the different social media channels, the websites, ICANN Learn, ICANN Wiki, and other ICANN beginner's guides. And my favorite is this glossary of acronyms. My first ICANN meeting was intersessional in LA, and honestly, I was really dazed. first. So this is really great. So if you hear PDP and, you know, and NIC and MOU, it's all here. And like I mentioned, it's a first draft, so we can still edit it. You know, we can add more acronyms, you know, as needed. The most important thing is, you know, this was developed, you know, for new members. So we're always looking to get more feedback. So if you need to, you can take a copy, and we're really happy to get more feedback on, you know, what you think of it and how it can be a stronger and more useful tool. So, thank you.
Great, Oria, that's a great presentation. And just thanks to he's not here, unfortunately, he had to return home, the executive committee, and Martin, he's not here, and Agostino, we all worked on it. It's actually part of just a small part of our marketing plan to get members engaged and educating them about MPOC as a whole, and it will be on our website. Before we go to the next section and talk a little bit more about the broader marketing strategy, there's a question that Renata has. Go ahead, please.
Actually, two comments from the chat. Renata said, sounds like a lot of good work done on the charter item. Congrats to all those involved. And Juan said, soon we also have it available to download beginner's guide on our website.
Great, thanks a lot. Yes, it's part of a larger toolkit that we're developing, and which brings me to the next item. I'm going to go over this quickly so that you guys can have lots of time to talk about your projects. But we'll do that next. I'll just talk about the work plan. I'll give you time. we've been focused. I became chair. The executive actually officially started in October, or when we got elected anyway. And we really took NPOC by the bull's horn, as they say, and say, okay, what do we need to do? We have not, as a constituency, been responsible and helping with the policy process. There's five of us, but we need to have lots of help. What do we do to get there? And that was a question that we had to answer. The one thing is that we needed to clarify what MPOC is, what the mission was, what was the charter that we were given, were we doing it. So we did that. We also did a strategy of, once we were done that, what did that mean? Where do we go from there? How do we get people to get involved? How, you know, information is everything. So we were actually starting in April. Our elections are coming in April as well. How do we get people more? We don't want an election where there's a name for each position. We want an election. We want people to be involved. We want a competition, I guess, is what we're saying. Because that's I don't know if we'll achieve it this year, but at least we're trying to get there. Because that's what democracy is about, is that there are challenges, and it includes representation. And the only way that people are going to come and be part of whatever constituency, whatever committee you're on, is if one, they're passionate about it, they're knowledgeable about it, or they're interested in it. So either of those, we're going to try to address. The first two, people are going to do it anyway. But a lot of people don't know about ICANN as a whole, and definitely they don't know about MPOC. So that's one of our biggest goals. We did that by doing some things like rebranding MPOC. We call it the new MPOC. And a new logo, yes, because we're going forward. We're not thinking about the past and what's happened. We can't change that. We can only change what we can do in the future. We're working on our website, which is, I think, going to be phenomenal. It's going to be really integrated. We're using a project management program called Trello, which will we put our actions from our meetings on Trello, and then it's integrated into the website, and then our members can see what we're doing and if we get them done, because we also are tracking what's being done and what needs to be done. Fortunately for us, because of some of the enthusiasm that either we've displayed or we're talking about, many people are coming forward and said, we would like to help you head up being part of committees with the subject matters that we've identified. So we're very, very happy and hopeful for the future. So that's some of our work plans. Lots of work, but I think we're getting there. We're actually getting things done. But most importantly is that the committee is solid, because you can't go out there and ask people to help you if you don't know what it is that your committee is supposed to do. So that's where we're at. So any questions? Yes?
Comment from Sahul, and CUC member. Good work on having transparency and having Trello board updates on website.
So if you're going to do something, we may as well do it right at the very beginning, right? Then we'd have to go back. All right, so we have our co-host today, NCUC, and they would like to talk to us about two events. One is WESIS. We'll let them tell us what that is. We know what it is, but so that everybody knows, and also RightsCon. So who would like to go first? Elsa? Yeah.
Yes, I'd just like to note that I'll be giving a small brief on WESIS, and Renata's going to give a small brief on the Africa Internet Summit, and I believe either Bruna or Michael's going to give a brief on RightsCon, and Bruna's going to give a brief on LACNIC, if that's okay, because these are our events basically for the next year. So I'm just going to start quick. So we're having an event soon at WESIS. In June this year, called Multi-Stakeholder Decision-Making in Global Internet Governance. The purpose of this brief workshop is to raise some questions that may merit further consideration in future venues. For example, has the growth of multi-stakeholder decision-making plateaued, or are there any plausible opportunities for it to progress in a helpful manner? Can the levels of multi-stakeholder input and engagement currently allowed by some intergovernmental organizations be meaningfully enriched in ways that would be value-adding, and so on? It's organized by ICANN's NCUC, obviously, and the moderator will be Bill Drake, and we have four speakers, including Bill Drake, and it's going to be very, very interesting, so please make sure to pass by if you're around that event. I can share the link to the event and the details of it, which I just mentioned a part of, on the chat. Yeah, so I guess maybe next... Michael or Renata or Bruna, depending on who's go for it.
Go ahead, Michael.
Oh my God, it's my moment. Michael Karaniklis for the record. So the NCUC drafted a proposal for RightsCon, which was accepted. We were merged with a similar proposal that was proposed by UNESCO. So now it's going to be a UNESCO NCUC session, which means we're sharing this stuff, but it also potentially gives us a nice profile boost because they've got a big megaphone. Essentially, the purpose of the session is to discuss multi-stakeholderism, and it has been provocatively titled. The new title is multi-stakeholderism advancing, dying, or evolving? And we're going to hear from all three of those perspectives. So we have a session that's going to be done. Jeremy Malcolm is going to be one of our speakers from NCUC. I will be co-moderating with somebody from UNESCO. Susan Kawaguchi just confirmed, and we're hoping to get somebody from the GAC as well, and a few other probably civil society voices too. So if any of you are going to be at RightsCon, please come on down to the session. Oh, and we also have an outreach booth confirmed also. So definitely if any of you are going to be at RightsCon, please let me know if you would be willing to keep me company at the booth, because I get so very lonely there by myself. So lots of stuff going on at RightsCon. Hope to see you all there, and it's going to be a good session.
Just jumping on, Bruna, for the record, I'm so sorry. Never get used to the microphones. I'm going to talk about LACNIC. LACNIC is one of the RRR's event. I don't know how to pronounce this acronym properly. I'm sorry. This will take place in June in Panama. We did not manage to get a session approved, but our member, Roxanne Johnson, who is representing us there, she will be definitely doing face-to-face engagement and joining some other sessions and also the policy forum from LACNIC. And the idea is to draft new members for N2C and NCSG as well. And, yeah, it's probably doing solid days. I will be working with Roxanne from now until Panama to better prepare her on this issue. And, yeah, from on LACNIC, that's it. The second thing I wanted to stress is just that WISIS, the WISIS forum, is next week. It's not in June. It's yeah. And the WISIS is the, for those of you who you probably, it's the World Summit on Information Society. So
thank you, Bruna, for the correction. No, I mixed it up with another event.
Yeah, it will take place next week. We have a session approved, just as Elsa said. Thank you very much.
Can you introduce yourself, let us know your name, and ask your question? Go ahead.
I'm Farah Foley, the NCUC representative to the policy committee and also NCUC mentee to this ICANN 61. I just want to add on that the NCUC is also planning to organize an event in Africa for the next Africa Internet Summit. It has been discussed on our regional mailing list, but I think it's also been approved by the NCUC executive committee, so that if people are want to make some suggestion or are willing to participate also, that will be a good opportunity. So I just want to mention that also in addition to the event that we are organizing. Thank you.
Great, thank you so much. And the next one is Renata.
So Renata's line just got cut. She won't be able to speak, but I'll take this opportunity to thank you guys for giving us this small time here. It was great collaborating with you, and we look forward to seeing the new charter and the results of all your work that's going on.
Thank you so much. Yes, we're very happy to work with you guys. You're very nice, so thank you very much, very gracious. And actually, to thank Renata, she's done tremendous work in reaching out and to collaborate. So unfortunately, she's not on the line, but I think it's a good way to go forward. It certainly benefits the NCSG, right? Did you want to say something about going to RightsCon?
Okay, yeah, well, just to mention that I'll be there. I'm getting funded by the Open Knowledge Finland and a little bit from Electronic Frontier Finland, so I can help you guys if people are attending from NCUC, do something there as well.
I'm back. Hi, can you hear me?
Are you there, Renata? Is that you?
Yes.
Hi, Renata. How are you?
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Do you want to go ahead with your... Okay, do you want to go ahead with your presentation?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Yeah. First of all, I just wanted to thank everyone who gave the updates. NCC tries to do updates through different... for different opportunities. There are the crop opportunities, which generated these events, and we are quite thankful for the EC's outreach and the members who submitted and the EC who supported and keep on supporting and talking about these events. And we also have, of course, the members who are going to be these events anyway, and we can tweet. So we've also tweeted a lot about our NPOC activities in 1961, and it was a very good collaboration, and I hope we can keep it forward, this collaboration, okay? Thank you very much again for this joint session. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks a lot, and I'm glad you got to reconnect. Stephanie, would you like to say anything to us in terms of, don't scold us, for sure, but anything on, you brought up the whole privacy thing back, I forgot, where are we? I think it was in Marrakesh. And my gosh, I had not realized how important that was until that presentation. Do you want to talk a little bit about privacy at all or anything, issues? I can't ignore you, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yes, you can. I'm not sure what you mean by privacy or... Well, that's kind of... I've talked all day about privacy, and I talked a lot yesterday about privacy, and there is now an emergency GDPR extra session Q&A tomorrow morning at 9:30. On top of that, there is a showdown. The U.S. government is threatening legislation if they don't open up who is again. So we have a few little things that I'm a bit preoccupied with. That's the policy work we're engaged in, folks. That is not a scolding. That is a warning of how much work this is. That's really all I want to say. I did say a while ago on the list, there was a bit of a mix-up over email going forward, and I volunteered to Tapani in Hyderabad that I would draft an ethics code for us because we need it, because we don't actually have agreement on what ethical conduct is. And the only reason I put myself forward to do that is I spent a year at the central agency in Canada working on the Canadian government ethics code. So I have, you know, the relevant research and codes like that. So I do think that might be a useful thing to do, and that would encompass privacy issues. The privacy issue in case was about someone forwarding a private email to the list, which is a general no-no, but on top of that, it had a private Skype handle on it. So, you know, these are things members should be aware of, and you know, I don't mean any criticism, but if we don't have a code, then it isn't wrong, you know? It's just sort of a cultural expectation, and we need to, especially in a global environment, you need to make sure that everybody is on the same page and agrees to your cultural norms. So that's something about privacy that might be worth exploring, but it's not going to happen with the current crisis going on right now with GDPR, I'm afraid. Thanks.
Great, thank you. Anyone else would like to say anything? Jeez. No? You look like you're going to raise your hand. Go ahead.
You mean that we'll get the last word?
Get the last word?
Close to the close word, the last word. Okay. No, it's just I think it was a nice experience to try to have this and to learn from you guys, because at the end we are in the same stakeholder group, and when we do in particular the policy discussion, we do it as a stakeholder group. So I think there is a goodwill that we can cooperate and help each other. So thanks again.
Thank you so much, and we echo that, of course. That's where we want to go. I really think we're ready to, not that we weren't before, but I think MPOC as a constituency is getting quite active and understanding what we have to do. But more than that, we've got the foundation behind us, and I think that's the most important thing. We have a lot of work to do, and we're doing it, and we're going to be helping you. And for nothing else, we just want to extend thanks to you and to UC for all the work that you've done, and that we're going to be there with you. And also thank you to all the EC and to Aurea for coming and popping into replacing Agostina so quickly. Thank you so much. We don't have Juan here, but he's done tremendous work with us. We work as a real team and really hold each other's hand and support each other. So kudos to the committee. And thank you all we have a comment.
Sorry, Renata has a comment. Thanks and keep tweeting. And Olivier has asked who from NPOC is at RightsCon.
I'm going to RightsCon, and Mr. Glenn McKnight is a speaker there as well for at RightsCon, but I will be going as well. Joan Kerr. Okay, well, there's nothing else. I'd like to call this meeting to a close. Thank you so much.